desolate my life would be. How dark and drear my night and day. If Jesus' face I did not see, to brighten all earth's weary ways, I'm overshadowed by his mighty love. Love eternal, changeless, pure, overshadowed by his mighty love. Rest is mine, serene, secure. He died to ransom me from sin. He lives to keep me day by day. His mighty love, love that brightens all my way. Now judgment fears no more alarm. I dread not death nor Satan's power. The world for me has lost its charm. God's grace sustains me every hour. I'm overshadowed by his mighty love, love eternal, change. Pure, overshadowed by his mighty love. Rest is mine, serene, secure. He died to ransom me from sin. He lives to keep me day. I'm overshadowed by his mighty love, love that brightens all my
way. Oh, thank you, Mrs. Garner. I was watching the faces of the folks while she was saying it. Were you like me? I was just absorbing that. Isn't that good stuff? Shadowed underneath his protective care, shadowed underneath his wings. Boy, I'm telling you, a believer, we have so much to be thankful for, so much to be grateful for. And thank you, Mrs. Garner, for that song. Take your Bible, if you would, quickly this morning with me, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1 is where we're going to be this morning. And again, God bless you for choosing to be here in the house of God. Second Peter chapter 1, we're going to read one verse for the message this morning. And then I want to preach to you this morning, church, on this subject, a personal promise from God. A personal promise from God. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. Would you stand with me? We're going to read one verse in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. The scripture says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, talking about these promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I want you to notice here for our text verse today, verse number 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And I want to use this verse and preach to you this morning on God's personal promises. God's personal promises. Now, Father, we don't take anything for granted. We know that you are doing and working in the hearts and lives of people and in this service today, even though our eyes may not be able to see what you're doing. You're constantly working. You're constantly blessing. You're constantly moving in homes and lives and doing your work among the people of God. We pray this morning that as we now have opened the Word of God and we've read it, that, Lord, that you'd use the Word of God to speak to our hearts concerning what you would have us to learn this morning. We're thankful for your goodness, for your blessings. Have your will and way in this particular service, for this may be the last service that we get to enjoy before the coming of Jesus Christ. And we'll give you the glory for it now in Christ's name. Amen. And you may be seated. Oh, how many times have we heard and used the word promise? You know, kids use it all the time in their conversation. Such as, can I borrow your PlayStation? I promise I'll bring it back. I promise I won't break it. And then they say, you promise? I promise. Okay. All kids use it all the time. Maybe in the teen department. Maybe the girls get together and they say, oh, did you see that new boy in our youth department? He sure is cute, but don't say anything about it. You promise? Okay, I promise. You see, they also will say things like this. Hey, I need help on my math homework. Amen, guys? I need help on my math homework. Can you help me? Yeah, I can help you. You promise? Yeah, I promise. You see, people use that you promise, I promise all the time. You ever had people come to you and say, I'm going to tell you something, but you have to promise not to tell anyone. And then they look at you square in the eyes and say, you promise? Yeah, I promise. You see, we use that in conversation all the time. Hey, listen, I could go on and on and on, but you get the picture of what I'm trying to say. We use the promise card all the time among ourselves, and we think nothing about the commitment that we're making. You see, a promise is a binding declaration. Whether it be verbal, whether it be written, it's made by one person to another person. For instance, in the spring and in the fall, many of us, we go to the voting booth. And we'll get our little instruction sheet, and it'll have all of the candidates, the politicians on there, and it'll have everybody on there and what they believe. And we'll go to the polling place, and we will vote not just based on their ethics and not just based on their morality, but many times we'll go to the poll and we'll vote based on their promises. And we go and we'll cast a vote because this guy promised this or this guy promised that. And we'll go and we'll make a decision based on promises that politicians make to us. Listen, they'll promise the moon, deliver a cow, right? Now, you know, when a person makes a promise, there's more that entails a promise, such as there's commitment involved in a promise. That's a pledge. That's putting into the hands of someone the power. That's taking and pledging to someone. See, there's more to a promise than just a promise. A promise is a commitment. It's a commitment. But it's also a declaration. It's something that's made known as something that's published. You see, it's a fulfillment. It's a accomplishing of something. You see, when someone makes a promise, they're making a commitment, they're making a declaration, but also they're saying, I will fulfill this. I will not repeat this. Or I will bring your PlayStation back. at some point. You ever loaned a book to somebody? You loaned a book to somebody, you loaned something to somebody, and you say, listen, I need this back, okay? Oh, yeah, I'll get it back to you. And you're still waiting for it to come back, and it's like 5 years and counting, you know? You see, a promise is a fulfillment. It's the ability to accomplish. But wait a minute, it's not just a commitment, a declaration of fulfillment. It's an obligation. It's something that we bound ourselves to by word to do something that we said we were going to do. It's an obligation. But may I say also, it's an expectation. It's something, when someone makes a promise to you, you are looking forward to getting that item back. Right? You're looking forward to something. It's expectation. But may I say also that a promise is assurance. It's confidence. It's free of doubt. It's certain. So when we make a promise, there's more involved in a promise than meets the eye. You see, when man makes a promise, he may not consider all the factors or the details of that promise or the details involved in what he's promising, because those details may cause him not to be able to fulfill that promise. Anyone ever made a promise to you and didn't fulfill it? Anybody ever made a promise to you and you had great expectations and it didn't come to pass? All of us have been there. You know why? Because when man makes a promise, he don't always look at all the details. He don't always look at the whole picture. But may I say to you this morning, and I want you to listen very carefully, when God makes a promise, he factors in all the details. When God makes a promise, he's examined all the evidence. When God makes a promise, he considers all the circumstances involved before the promise is ever made. And then he takes all the factors, all the evidence, all the circumstances, and he wraps them in his love and his grace, and he promises. You see, when God makes the promise, he never has gone back on one of his promises. And he never will go back on one of his promises. Why? Because he's already factored in all the evidence. He's already got it all factored in. And within a promise, there's security. You know, when someone makes a promise to you, don't you feel secure? When someone says, I promise I will do this, then you know what? There's some security in that promise because you just expect them to fulfill their obligation. You see, all of this works together in a promise. You see, there's security, there's hope, there's peace. You see, within a promise from God, we can find help and comfort and love and kindness and joy. You see, within a promise from God, we can find freedom to serve and live for God without the fear factor controlling our lives. You see, in Romans chapter 4, verse number 16, the Bible says that the promises of God are sure. In other words, you can bank on them. In other words, they're stable, they're certain, and he will fulfill his commitment. He made the declaration. He will keep his obligation. You know why? Because there's a great expectation there. You see, there's a lot of uncertainty today in our world, is there not? There's uncertainty in our country. There's uncertainty in our economy. There's uncertainty on our jobs, and there's uncertainty in our lives. But you listen very carefully. You can bank on the certainty and surety of the personal promises of God. You can bank on it. Because when God makes a promise, he will fulfill, because he obligates himself to fulfill the promise that he made to us. I want to look at some of those personal promises from God this morning. Would you take your Bible with me, if you would, and turn to Revelation chapter 3 for just a moment? Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. Everybody find your place? Jesus speaking here makes this statement. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door. Now here's what I want you to underline. Here's the promise. He said, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Did you see the promise in the verse? He said, I will come in. You open the door, I'll come in. He says, all you have to do is act. He said, if you will, I will. You open the door, I come in. Did you notice he said, I will? That indicates action. That indicates performance. He said, you open the door, I'm coming in. You see, that's a promise from God. It's the same promise that we have in John chapter 3 and verse number 16. Am I right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what that is? It's a promise. It's a personal promise from God Almighty to us today. Here's the promise. Open the door of your heart, I will save you. He says, open your heart, I will come into you. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the reason, folks, we have a personal promise from God. He says, listen now, open up, I'll come in. You say, well, I just don't think God would come into my heart and save me. Well, stop here and think about this for just a moment, okay? Remember when I said just a moment ago, when man makes a promise, a lot of times he don't consider all the details. He makes a promise not thinking about all the details of the matter. I'm here to tell you this morning, God has already considered all the evidence of your life. God has already considered all the circumstances of your life. God has all considered all the details of your life. He already knows your past. He already knows what's happened today, and He already knows what's going to happen in the future. And He is still willing to say, open up, I will come in. Doesn't matter what we've done. You see, the thing about it is, folks, we are worse on ourselves than God is on us, because He wants us to be saved. That's the reason He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what it is? It's a personal promise from your Creator. See, that's the reason He doesn't want anybody to die without Christ. He doesn't want anybody to die and go to an eternity without God in a burning hell. That's the reason He says, open the door, I'll come in. He said, action will take place. I will perform my promise. I will keep my commitment. I have an obligation to keep my promise to you. You see, remember, God's already taken into consideration all the things of your life. You see, He knows all about your past, your present, your future. Nothing is hidden from the eyes of God. Proverbs 5:21 says this, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He pondereth all his goings. So you know what? We are here this morning. Can I say, God already knows everything you've done. Now let me go a step further. You want me to really blow your mind? Do you know that God knows what you're thinking right now, all of us simultaneously? You say, oh, can God do that? If He can't be God. You see, God knows everything we're thinking simultaneously and is able to figure it all out. You say, oh, we serve a big God. You're exactly right. You see, the thing about it is, some think we serve a little God and He only keeps certain promises. No, He keeps all His promises that He makes. All of them that He makes to us. You see, our goings, our ways are before the eyes of the Lord. So you know what He wants to do? He's made the promise. He said, you open the door, I'll come in, I'll save you. Doesn't matter what you've done in your past. Doesn't matter what you're going to do in your future. By the way, folks, have everybody figured out that on the cross all your sins were in the future? There was no past to you. All your sins were in the future when Jesus died. He already knew what we were going to do before He ever did it. And yet, you know what He was still willing to say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And He said, it's finished, I've done it. And now, as a believer, you know what we do? We get to serve God. We don't have to serve God. We get to serve God. And you know what it's about? It's about because we know we've claimed and accepted a promise. And listen to me, when I opened my heart nearly 26 years ago and He came in, you know what He did? He kept His promise to me. I got born into the family of God. Let me tell you something. I went nuts I thought, man, this is what Christians are supposed to be. This is it? I didn't know this is what Christianity was like. I didn't know it could be this good. I didn't know it could be this fun. Man, I'm telling you, when I got saved, I went crazy. I went nuts. You said, yeah, you still are. Well, you know what? Don't tell me because I don't want to get over it. All right? I'm just simply telling you today, there's a personal promise from God that He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. His promise is to you and I. He says, I'm standing at the door this morning and I'm knocking. Who's going to open up? Huh? Who's going to open up? He said, you open up, I'm coming in. You ever had, my granddaughter, she's got relatives live right across the street from her. Sometimes she'll go over there, then she'll come back to our home and we'll hear this little knock at the door. Now we've taught her, you always knock, you don't just open the door and come in. But now she's perfected it because of course sometimes we don't explain everything to a 5-year-old and they assume a lot. And so now she comes to the door and she goes, opens it up. Hello! Now, she knocked, but we forgot to tell her you should wait till somebody comes to the door. You see? Anybody here? Now, all I'm saying to you this morning, God says, just open it. All I want you to do. You say, but I just don't know if I have enough faith. How about just crack the door? Okay? Just crack the door. God will get His foot in there. He'll get His foot in there. He'll open it up. You just have to want to. All I'm saying to you, dear folks, this morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, there is a promise to you, and God will fulfill that promise. He's obligated to do it. He's obligated to do it. He said, I will come in. Hey, this gets better. Hey, do you know when you get saved, that's just the beginning. Do you know God's promises to a believer, they get progressive? I want to show you another one. Take your Bible, if you would. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Okay, Hebrews chapter number 13. All right, are you there? Hebrews chapter number 13. Hey, folks, I'm telling you, as a born-again believer, I hold on to those precious promises, don't you? I mean, I'm telling you, I hold on, I squeeze everything out of them. You know what? Because that's how I survive. On the promises of God. And you know why I know I'm saved today? Not based on how good I am, not based on any commitments I made to God. I know I'm saved today because He promised me. And I claim that promise. You know what He's going to do? He will and has fulfilled that promise. All right, are you with me? Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. He said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for He hath said. Now what Paul is about to do here, he's about to quote a passage from Genesis chapter number 28 when he made this statement to Jacob. Remember Jacob's ladder? Okay? Remember when Jacob made a stone for a pillow and he dreamed about this ladder, about angels ascending and descending, and he woke up and he said, surely God was in this place, and he called the place Bethel. This is what he said to him while he was in that dream. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Did you notice? Here's another I will. He said, open the door, I will come in. Now he says to the believer, he says, now here is a progressive promise. He said, open the door, I'll come in. And now he says, now that I've come in, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know what that tells me? God will never, ever, ever abandon me. Now listen to me. There's some here this morning, you think God's abandoned you. You think that God's nowhere to be found somewhere in your universe. But may I say to you, He is. He's there. And He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let me show you some scripture here. Take your Bible, go to John chapter 14 for just a moment. John chapter 14. Okay, John chapter 14. Now, because, listen, the same fear that some of us has, the same fear that His disciples had. When Jesus started talking about Him leaving and ascending and going and back to the right hand of the Father, remember His disciples began to ask Him questions. Where are you going? Going to the right hand of the Father. Can we come? No, you can't come. Not time yet. And they begin to ask different questions about Jesus leaving them. And I want you to notice in John 14 and verse number 18, he makes a simple statement to them. He says, guys, listen, calm down just a minute. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I will come to you. He says, now I'm going to leave. Now keep in mind, when you read the Gospels, you know what Jesus had become to the disciples? That security blanket. As long as they were with him, they were secure. But now he's talking about leaving. Now he's talking about going away, and all of a sudden, Lord, where are you going? When are you going? What's going to happen? And he starts talking about leaving and about being crucified, about being buried and going and back to the Father's right hand. And they said, what are we going to do? He says, don't worry, guys. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. Flip over a chapter or two to John 16 and verse 7. John 16 and verse 7. Jesus, speaking here again, tells his disciples, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, listen to what he says, I will send him to you. You know what that is? He's telling them there will never, ever be a time where you will be left alone. Ever. He says, when I leave, I will send you the Comforter. You say, explain, please. All right, here's what happens. When you open the door and Jesus said, I will come in, and he does come in, and you do get born into the family of God, what comes in at that time is the Spirit of God comes into your life, and that is a gift of God to you. So you know what? God is actually living inside every born-again believer this morning. You see, God is actually living in you, and that's the reason he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You see, that Comforter is the Holy Ghost. And when Jesus left, he gave us that Comforter so that we could be comforted. He will never leave us nor forsake us. That's the reason he tells us in Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And listen, I will give you rest. Now that word rest right there, he says, I will give you relief. I will give you what I promised to give you. He says, not only will I give you relief, but in that relief, I will refresh you in the process. Anybody ever been there? And Jesus said, hey, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And he says, you know what I've got waiting for you? Refreshment. You know what I've got waiting for you? Relief. That's a promise from God. You ever run there before? You see, he tells the people of God in Jeremiah 33:3, he says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He is constantly working in our lives. Did not Jesus tell his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel? They were to go, they were to baptize, they were to teach. And he says, as you go, he said, lo, I am with you. How often? Always, even to the end of the world. So, I'm not alone in this thing. He said, I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. You know, many times my granddaughter and I, we will go and we'll go to a new place. Maybe it's a store, or maybe we'll go to a... You ever take your kids for the first time to school? And you know how they're holding on to mama's hand or daddy's hand, and that first day of school, I mean, as you get closer to the class, the pressure increases. You see, they don't want you to leave them. They don't want you to forsake them. Now, the thing about it is they're going to know that if you've cared for them and loved for them and provided for them, that you have shown no evidence of ever leaving them or forsaking them. But my granddaughter and I will go to places like that, or we'll go to the store, and you know, one of the first things that she'll do, she'll look at me and say, Poppy, you're not going to leave yet, are you? You're not going to leave me, are you? Of course not. And I look at her and I'll say, Zoe, I'll never leave you. Poppy's not going to leave you out playing on the playground by yourself. I'm going to watch you. And you know what you do? When they know that they've got your attention, they know that you're not leaving, you know what they'll do? They'll go out there and they'll say, hey, I want you to watch me on the slide. Watch me slide. And you're going, yay! Hey, I can do more. Watch me swing. And they go over there and swing. You know why? Because they know I'm not going anywhere. She knows I'm not going anywhere. She knows what she'll do. She'll get out there and she'll work. She'll get out there and have fun. She'll get out there and live. She'll get out there and do what she came there to do. If she knows, Poppy's not leaving. But if she knows, she ain't doing nothing. You know what she's going to do? If she has any fear that I'm leaving, she ain't going to go play. She's going to be standing right there. Amen! I'm just here to tell you, you know what? He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. So folks, that's the reason. Go ahead and serve God. Go ahead and enjoy being saved. Go ahead and find you a place in the church to do something for God. Because let me tell you something. He's watching. Go ahead and slide. Go ahead and swing. Go ahead and enjoy what God's got for your life. He's got His eye on you. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. You know what He said? He said, I will not. I will not. I will not. So we've looked at two promises. He said, open the door. I will come in. He said, oh, preacher, I don't know if I got enough faith. Crack the door. He'll get His foot in there. If you want to be saved, I promise you, He wants you to be saved. He'll give you the strength to walk that aisle. The second promise we looked at, He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, but it gets even better. It's progressive. Take your Bible now. Let me look at the last promise with you. John chapter 14. John 14 and verse number 1. So here's the progressive promise of God. Here's His personal promise. He says, open the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in. Why? Because for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. All promises. God says, I'm committed to it. I'm obligated to it. I will fulfill it. You can have assurance in it. You see, do you understand? God says that all of these things are incorporated in a promise. You see, for us, we don't check all the details out before we make a promise. But God's already surveyed all your life. And He made the promise. I will come in. Number two, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But wait a minute, look at the last part of this progressive promise of God. Jesus speaking to His disciples. Now keep in mind, He's talking now about leaving. And here's what He tells His disciples. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in Me. He said, in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, look at your Bible. Does it say the same thing mine does? I will come again. I will come again. And receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Hey, look at the progression. He says, open the door. Come in. I'll come in. He says, and when I come in, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says, now look to the eastern sky. He says, because I will come again. Because I'm not going to leave you. You're going to come where I am. I don't know about you folks. That'll get every born-again believer excited. Remember in Acts chapter 1, verse number 11, remember as Jesus ascended up into heaven? Remember everybody standing there gazing? And remember the angels of God says, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? You know what He's saying? He says, listen, boneheads, how many times has He told you? How many times over His ministry did He tell you? Now, bonehead's not in the Bible. I'm sorry. For those of you that are new, bonehead's not in the Bible. I just said that, all right? But I'm kind of reading between the lines. I don't know if the angel of the Lord actually said bonehead, but I do know that He said, ye men of Galilee. I better just stick to the Bible. Why stand ye gazing into heaven? He said, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. You know what? Because He's going to come back, because He promised He would. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come. I'm coming. Just get ready. I'm coming again. And listen to me, dear friend. If you're a child of God this morning, you should have woke up this morning. You should have got up and said, this could be the day. This could be the day of the coming of Christ. Can you imagine the catastrophic event that that's going to be? Wouldn't you like to be alive when that happens? You say, oh, no, preacher, because I want to be one of the dead that rise first. Well, let me tell you something. Whether I rise first or I join them in the air don't make no difference to me. Because all I know is I'm saved, I've got a promise, He's never left me, nor has He ever forsaken me. He's given me a promise that He's coming again, and I need to expect it. I need to anticipate Him coming. We should desire His return. Turn, if you would, quickly to Revelation chapter 22. I want you to notice here how John signs off the revelation. Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 20. John signing off, here's what he says. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. And then the Holy Ghost right there says, amen. Amen. He's coming. Even so come, John says, Lord Jesus. And then he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And he says, complete, last period, no more revelation. The last subject that he addressed was the coming of Christ. Last thing he said. You know why? Because God wanted to remind us, I will come again. I will come again. Don't forget it. You see, when Christ returns, He's going to return with immortality for every believer. He's going to return with a promise of a mansion for every believer. He's going to return with forever with the Lord for every believer. Everybody. I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to that. You know why? Because it's a promise. He promised it. What a personal promise. Jesus said, open the door, I will come in. He says, and I will come in and sup with you and you with Him. He says in Hebrews chapter 13, He says, now that I'm in, I got a promise for you. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Boy, that's exciting. Because you know, when my granddaughter knows that I'm sitting there and I'm not leaving, you know what she'll do? She'll have a blast. See, the reason I'm saying, folks, that some of us aren't having a blast being a born-again believer is because maybe we think that He's left us. Maybe we think He went back on His promise. But can I tell you this morning? He hasn't. He's been there the whole time. He's been there the whole time. You ever taking your kids out somewhere and they get to looking at something or piddling with something? And the next thing they do, they look around. Ah! And they begin to run around looking, wait a minute. And pretty soon they just turn around and, oh, you're like 10 feet down the aisle. Oh, 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 I thought you left me. And then you look at them and say, I'm not going to leave you. Why would I leave you? I love you. I'm not going to leave you. And you know what normally happens? That happens one time, and now they're up under your feet all the time. You know why? Because they don't want to experience that again. I'm here to tell you, you listen to me, as a child of God, you will never have to experience that. Ever have to experience that God has ever left you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake thee. And then He says, here's the last part of my progressive promise. Open the door, I'll come in. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And He says, now, I'm coming again. And you know what we've got to do, folks? We got to be ready. Because some this morning, you've never opened the door for Christ. Just crack it this morning. He wants you to be saved. He'll give you the faith. He'll stick that foot in the door. He'll say, hey, listen, here's the faith. Here's the promise of God. All you've got to do is accept it. Open the door. Some of us this morning, maybe through circumstances, maybe through heartaches, regardless of what's going on, some may thank the Lord has left you. Maybe you think He's abandoned you. I'm here to tell you, He has never abandoned you and never will abandon you. And the reason I know it, because He promised He never would. And then He's coming again. I will come again. Are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus to come? You say, oh, I just don't know if I want Him to come today. Why not? Why not? Oh, I just got so many things to do. Listen to me, folks. What in the world do we have more important to do here than spend time forever immortal with Christ? He's coming. And you know what? It's a personal promise. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many this morning would say, "Preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven's my home. I've been born into the family of God." Would you slip your hand up? Say, "I'm testifying before the Lord. I've been saved. I know it. No question. I've been born into the family of God."